You're listening to TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host, Makisha Madden-Toby, television critic for the Detroit News. And on today's show, we're going to be talking to Mark Isham, an amazing composer behind movies like Reservation Road and Crash and shows like Crash. And my favorite show, one of my favorite shows this fall, Once Upon a Time. ABC's Once Upon a Time is not only TV's number one new drama, but it is also one of my favorite shows, like I said. And it comes from Lost writers Edward Kitsis and Adam Horowitz and follows our most beloved fairy tale characters, Snow White, Cinderella, Geppetto, and shows what would have happened if the evil queen had won and all of these characters didn't get their happily ever afters. Of course, the show would not be as touching and dramatic as it is without composer Mark Isham's moving score. We heard a little bit of it at the beginning of the show. That's No More Happy Endings, I think the name of the song is. And I'm sure you, if you've watched the show, which you should if you haven't, you know that's the theme song as well. Mark Isham has also scored countless soundtracks for the Oscar, like I said, Oscar-winning movie Crash, as well as Chicago Hope, which was a good show on CBS not too many moons ago. But it's Once Upon a Time that has everyone buzzing now. And here's a clip before we start talking to Mark. Here's a clip of Prince Charming, played by Josh Dallas, excuse me, when he saves Snow White by giving her a kiss. And Snow White is played by Jennifer Goodwin.
No! Open it.
I'm sorry, she's gone.
Please let me say goodbye.
Show is so awesome. And with that, I'm going to introduce our guest, Mark Isham. Mark?
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for doing the show.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
I know I'm a cornball, but please tell me that you love this show as much as I do. I mean, if you don't, lie to me, because your music makes this show even better than it is. I mean, it's good, and then it's best, the best, because of your music.
So. Well, thank you. the story on this goes that I hadn't done television for quite a while, mm-hmm. and the woman who runs ABC Productions Music called me up and said, look, I've got three really good scripts this year, and I want to entice you back into television.
Cool.
I said, well, send them to me. And they were all pretty good. One of them was really good. But I also knew, and I said this to her, I said, look, this one could be just, you know, the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
If it's done right. If it's done wrong, it could fall flat.
It's
a real gamble. And so I said, but let me meet these guys. So I met Adam and Eddie, and they are just the best you could hope for. They're just so enthusiastic. They're so bright. They're so creative. And they really responded to me. And we actually closed the deal in that first meeting.
Wow.
And I just decided, you know, all right, this is the way I picked a lot of projects in my career. Just mm-hmm. I really respond to it, and if it doesn't work, so be it. I'll go down with the ship. But if it works, I can be, you know, proud with everyone else that we made it go.
That's a good attitude.
Yeah.
And so far, I mean, you picked right, right? I mean, I know you can't probably tell us. I really want to know what the other shows were, but I probably can't tell.
Well, let's put it this way. They were all directed by, you know, film directors doing the pilot,
huh.
And they all did get picked up.
Okay. I've got some ideas. So how does that, you read the script, and then do you watch it and then come up with the music? Like, I don't want to get into your genius too much, but how does it work when you compose and music for something this sweet and this charming? And
Well, the thing that was interesting about this is that it's television, and pilot season, once you get going, it's going. And in fact, they reminded me of this because I was going to say, well, when do I get some picture to look at? And they said, well, you'll get picture to look at, and then we'll need to have music like 4 days later.
What?
I said, what? then I remembered how this goes in television. And so I said, so they said, we was hoping you would write some themes beforehand.
You're like, but I just.
So I said, okay. And I sat down just based on the pilot script, really.
Wow.
Because, you know, all they do is write a pilot because, you know, there's no money for a pilot. You just, there's just enough money to get it into good enough shape to test it to see if people like it.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's on a shoestring. Everyone's just sort of doing it, hoping that it will go. And but I sat down and wrote like four or five themes based on the script. I wrote the Evil Queen theme, and I wrote the Snow White.
Oh, I love the Evil Queen theme. And she's like floating across the floor.
Yeah.
So cool.
And I wrote the forever unrequited but hopefully requited love theme for Snow White and Prince Charming. And I wrote that theme that you played, which is sort of the magic of fairy tale land. And which also works in Storybrooke when the magical things happen.
Mm-hmm. I love that because it's like a recurring strand throughout the series. That music comes back, and when you hear it, you're like, oh, something's gonna happen.
And that's what I realized as the pilot unfolded, that some of these themes, I just needed like two bars that were really stuck out and stayed with you, because that's what you want. Exactly the effect that you just described is that's the effect you want to create. You want to create, oh, I'm getting shivers because I hear those notes, you know.
Have you seen the movie The Holiday?
I have not, no.
It's a really sweet movie if you get a chance. It's a great Christmas movie.
All right.
And it has Jack Black in it and Kate Winslet. But in the movie, Jack Black plays a composer. And I thought of you when I saw that, or I thought of the movie, actually, when I heard your music and was getting ready for the interview, because he talked about using all the sweet notes, all the good notes. And I just got that sense with listening to the music for Once Upon a Time. It was like with certain songs, like you said, with the theme song in particular, all the sweet notes, you know, the sort of this little fairy tale, just a hopeful, you know what I mean? It's just so hopeful.
Oh, good.
I love it.
Good. That's what we tried for, and I'm glad we've achieved it.
Do you think that's what is like attracting so many viewers? Why do you think the show has turned out to be such a hit? I mean, you obviously, like you said, you read the script, but I mean, how can you tell what people are going to like? Why do you think, you know, people have been so drawn to this?
Well, I think because they've done something very, very well here. The real world, you know, the world that we inhabit, which is part of the story, is told in a very real way, so that you can relate. You can relate to these people that are discovering this, you know, relationship with these characters as being as, oh, we don't believe that. You know, how can that possibly be? I mean, that's ridiculous. You're insane. In fact, they send the kid to the shrink because they think he's crazy.
Yeah. They threaten and, like, I think even institutionalize him. and knock it off.
But then, of course, at the same time, as an audience, we get to see what's happening in fairy tale land.
Mm-hmm.
Two characters that we've known since, you know, we grew up and the first books our parents read to us and the first books we learned to read on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm reading, you know, Snow White to my daughter at night still. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's... and we all love those characters. We feel we know them and we feel we're already invested in them. And so when we learn some intimate things about their life and some things that the fairy tale stories didn't tell us, you know, are revealed, we're interested.
Yeah.
And it's a magical combination. I think Eddie and Adam were just brilliant in this concept.
I'm loving it. Did you have a favorite fairy tale character from your childhood?
I can't remember having a particular favorite, no.
And what are you watching on TV before we're winding down, before I let you go? What do you like? What shows do you like, and what music with those shows? Like,
well, you know, given my schedule and my lifestyle, I very seldom can watch television in the moment, you know, on a weekly basis. So I will usually hear of something and then rent the DVD so I can do it on my own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm usually about a year behind. but I got hooked on Lost.
Yeah.
When it was out, and I went back and just got it from the beginning, and my teenage son and I would just take a weekend and just catch up, you know, do five episodes in a row.
That's the way to do it. That's the show to do it.
Yeah, and you can actually sort of stay connected and not too confused.
Good choice. Yeah, it's best on DVD.
And I love the music in that show.
Yeah.
I thought Michael did a really, really good job with that.
And, no, you're right.
I went back and looked at some of that and just watched what he did and learned a few things there.
Well, I'm so glad I got a chance to talk to you, because trust me, after talking to you and listening to this music, I'm going to be looking at TV in a whole different way and listening to the music a lot more. So thank you so much for doing the show.
It is my pleasure to talk to you, too.
Take care.
Bye.
And so I also want to thank, we got to thank Mark. He's so wonderful. And our sponsors, home meal delivery service Freshology for the show's wonderful culinary delights. Behind the scenes, Freshology, taste, style, convenience, environment. And a special thanks goes out to Hollywood's leading dermatologist, Dr. Harold Lancer at Lancer Dermatology in Beverly Hills. Most importantly, I have to thank Leo. He is awesome and he made the show rock. NPR West, and of course, Adam Janis for all your help behind the scenes. Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch us next time on TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. Take care.